Good morning. This meeting is now in session. My name is Angela Ryder. I am the chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy. It is Monday, February 26, 2024 at 9 a.m. and I'm calling this meeting to order. Folks on this video conference, please mute yourselves until it is your opportunity to speak or if you've been called upon to eliminate any distractions of background noise. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy reserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant to ARS 38-431.0333 on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in an executive session may remain in the board meeting room and when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open session. Once again, please mute yourselves so that there is no distraction of background noise.
How do I mute myself? Please mute yourself.
Thank you. Director Ockerton, will you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member Tapscott?
Present.
Vice Chair DeRoost?
Present.
Chair Ryder?
Present.
Madam Chair? I don't want to put him on the spot, but the board's newest member is on the call, and if he would like to say anything at this time, we haven't received his paperwork yet, but Bob Kovitz is on the call, and if you'd like to say something, this would be an opportunity.
Absolutely. Welcome, Bob. Please go ahead and introduce yourself. Unmute if you would like to introduce yourself. Welcome to the Massage Therapy Board.
There we go. Well, good morning, everybody. And, Tom, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Just want to say hello to everyone. All the paperwork has been submitted. And I look forward to serving with all of you. So I'm just listening in today. Obviously, I don't have any role. But Madam Chair and everybody, it's a pleasure to see all of you.
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during the public meeting that is subject to a reasonable time. That cutoff is 2 minutes and will be timed by board staff and place the manner and restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issues within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that the matter be put on a future agenda. Please be advised that a call to public is not an opportunity for testimony for cases that are currently being reviewed by the board and, again, must be within the jurisdiction of the public body. So please make sure that you understand the board, what the board can and cannot do by reviewing the ARS from the board website. Do we have a call to public? If so, please raise your hand on the meeting screen and we'll call on you. And it seems that we do not have a call to public. Item number 4 on the agenda. Board members have had an opportunity to review the board packet sent out by the board staff. Are there any conflicts of interest regarding any of the cases or investigative reviews that we are conducting today? And there are not. Item number 5, the board meeting minutes. The board meeting minutes from our previous meeting are in production. For anybody interested in reviewing our previous meetings, these meetings can be found on our website by clicking the meetings, and you can click on the particular date that you want to listen to the meeting. MP3s are available, as well as the videos are available for a short period of time. Item number 6 on the agenda, We originally had Mr. Imran Ali, who's an attorney for Eckberg Lammers, Senior Director of Training. His role is to train law enforcement and local municipalities on how to deal with and combat the ongoing problems of human trafficking, and even more specifically, human trafficking guised as massage therapy practice. Unfortunately, Imran was unable to join us today. He represents an association, and the last Sunday, three of their officers were killed in the line of duty. Please note that our thoughts and prayers are with him, his colleagues, and families of the fallen officers, and we are actively coordinating with Imran to reschedule his presentation with our board. And so just please acknowledge that he was prepared to be here today, but due to unfortunate circumstances, he had to cancel last minute. Item number 7 on our agenda, Ms. Mara Concordia, who is the chair of the Massage Therapy Board Industry Issues Advisory Committee, is joining us today. And Mara will give us an update of the previous meetings held, which are also available on the board website for review. Mara?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So the last meeting that was held, we spent a fair amount of time discussing the organization of this advisory committee, trying to get clarity around, are we a committee or are we a board? And if we were going to be following Robert's rules or not, making motions, et cetera. It was determined at that meeting that we are, in fact, a committee, not a board. We are not in the position or desiring of making motions to formalize any of our suggestions or recommendations. This committee historically was sort of ad hoc as needed, where a variety of experts came together to solve a particular question or issue or assist in solving a particular question or issue, and we choose to remain as such. To that end, what will occur and has been occurring, to the best of my knowledge, is that the committee will meet. We will discuss or brainstorm ideas, suggestions, and so forth. One of the volunteers has volunteered to scribe those minutes. They'll provide those notes from our meeting, our list of suggestions and ideas, to the executive director and myself. We will review, make sure that they are complete, and they will be presented to you at when you are preparing agendas, so you can determine what shall be agendized or not based on the workflow needed. So that was in terms of the structure of that. There was a comprehensive list of suggestions and ideas that were presented to you. And you will be doing with them as you see fit. We do have a scheduled meeting for this coming week on Wednesday. I'm not completely sure if that will continue to happen, but I believe it will. So some agenda items for our next meeting will be some more clarity around who can speak at these meetings, who's a committee member, who's just a public viewing. Having perhaps a call to public like you have during the regular board meetings, and the process in which members are put to the committee versus speakers or invited guests who have a particular area of expertise that we may need at the time to help advise us. Also defining some clarity on limits for how the committee can speak for the board and so forth and so on, so that we don't accidentally misrepresent who we are, what we're doing. So basically speaking only about what has been clearly discussed in a board meeting that has been formalized to the public, that the limits should be, you know, set there, based on AG input and so forth, and yourself, of course. So I believe that's the comprehensive list of all the points that we discussed. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Do we have, are you prepared to go over the suggestion list that was presented in your meeting, or does that need to be tabled until our next meeting as a board? So that it's agendized.
Yeah, I think it needs to be agendized. I was not prepared to read the entire whole list, and it would be relatively out of context, I think, in this format. So I think, you know, it was a lot about volunteers and how can we make the website better and, you know, make things easier for applicants to be able to complete in a timely fashion, and mostly how to get them to do applications accurately and an understanding of, you know, literally how much work the board staff is doing and how they're doing it. So those were the general points about the list.
Perfect. I listened to the meeting. There were some great suggestions, and I'm looking forward to presenting that to the rest of the board to see how we can be more efficient and if those, some of those suggestions can be implemented. So thank you for that. And thank you for just everything that you do. The advisory committee has been very, very supportive and helpful in brainstorming and trying to get some of these ideas implemented as soon as possible.
My pleasure. Thank you. Anyone have any other questions for me? All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Mara. Item number 8 on the agenda, review, discuss, and possible action. So upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained confidential by state or federal law. Today, we do not have any formal board hearings or formal board interviews. However, we do have several board investigative reviews. I would like to start with that. And our first investigative review is Juana Vargas, massage therapist 23612. This is an expired license. This is a preliminary investigative review of the information available to the board at this time, and it is not a hearing. Juana Vargas, are you present in this meeting?
Yes.
Thank you for being here. Do you have legal counsel with you here today?
No.
Okay, thank you. Investigator David Elson, can you please provide a summary of the complaint against Ms. Vargas?
Yes, Madam Chair. On July 24, 2023, the board received a complaint from Aetna Foreign Services Benefit Plan that massage therapy services submitted for reimbursement on 12/26/2023 performed by the respondent while her license was expired. Her license expired November 8th of 2023. In a written statement to the board, she admitted to that the complaint was true, and that's about it.
Okay. Ms. Vargas, would you like to present any information at this time?
No.
Okay. Do the board members have any questions for the investigator?
Her license remains expired also.
Thank you.
That would have been my one question.
And are there any questions for Ms. Vargas?
Yes, this is Board Member Tapscott. Ms. Vargas, so is your license in the process of being renewed? Or?
Yes, I've already taken all my CEUs. I'm just waiting to apply for my license and pay for it.
Okay. And I don't mean to pry too much, but are you waiting for financial reasons?
Yes.
Okay.
Any questions from Vice Chair DeRouche?
Yeah, thank you. So I just clarification that when you were performing massages, you knew that your massage license was expired.
Yeah, I knew it was expired, but I didn't think about it. I just continued with my with my clients, my regular clients, I think, I don't know. I knew it was expired. I knew I was going to get my CEUs. I just didn't think about not giving massages. So I didn't do it like maliciously. I just kept massaging.
Okay. That's my only question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have an option here. Based on the information presented at this meeting and contained in the investigative report, I would motion to, upon meeting all the license requirements for the license renewal, offer a consent agreement for a $400 civil penalty, and if not signed and paid within 60 days, deny licensure.
This is Board Member Tapscott. I just have one question. Is that consistent with what we've done? It is? Okay, thank you. You already know what's going there, huh? Then this is Board Member Tapscott. I second that motion.
And can we do a roll call vote, please, Mr. Augerton?
Yes, Madam Chair. Vice Chair DeRoost?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
3 ayes and 2 vacant.
And the motion passes. So what this means for you, Ms. Farias, is this investigative review is concluded, and the board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served upon the parties. Thank you for attending.
Thank you.
Our next investigative review is on Anhua Lee, massage therapist 29239. This is a preliminary investigative review of the information available to the board at this time, and it is not a hearing. Is Anhua Lee present in this meeting? And it appears that Anhua Lee is not present. Investigator Olson, could you please provide a summary of the complaint against Ms. Lee?
Yes, Madam Chair. On November 10th, 2023, Sergeant Jason Stout with the Mesa Police Department notified the board that Mesa had charged respondent with solicitation of prostitution based on a search warrant that was executed. Respondent to date has failed to notify the board of being arrested or charged. And based on that information, the board conducted an investigation. On the actual, solicitation occurred on November 2nd, 2023. An undercover officer was introduced to Welcome Massage on Country Club Boulevard in Mesa. The officer was solicited for a hand job for money by the respondent, who was subsequently charged and released for solicitation of prostitution.
Investigator, has Ms. Lee been responsive at all to your communications or attempting to communicate?
No, she hasn't. I called the number the board has on file. She did not. I left a voicemail. She didn't answer. I can't be sure that's still her number, but her initial application is relatively new. She's only been licensed since 2022 or 2023, but I didn't get a response from the voicemail I left, and she failed to respond to the notice of complaint.
Okay. Do any of the board members have any other questions for the investigator at this time? Okay, so we do have a couple of options, and I do want to defer to Investigator Elson as well as our Assistant Attorney General. Because based upon the information that we've received, our options are to move the matter to a formal hearing or offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender. I'm wondering if we could combine the two of those simply because, I don't want to prolong this, and if we can do both of these simultaneously, offer the consent agreement for the voluntary surrender as well as schedule the formal hearing so that way if we don't hear back, then we'll already have that hearing in place.
I typically attempt to obtain the voluntary surrender first before going to formal hearing. If in fact I can actually get in touch with her, if I can't, then there's no way to get her to sign the voluntary surrender.
Okay. Then I will go ahead and make the motion based upon the information presented at this meeting and contained in the investigative report. I move that we move this matter to a formal hearing.
And this is Vice Chair DeRuth, and I second that motion.
And a roll call vote, please, Mr. Alderton.
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Vice Chair DeRuth?
Aye.
3 ayes, 2 vacant.
The motion passes. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served upon the parties. Thank you. Our next investigative review is Sheila Evers, Massage Therapist 25880. This is a preliminary investigative review of the information available to the board at this time, and it is not a hearing. Is Sheila Evers present at this meeting?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. Sheila, do you have legal counsel with you here today?
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Investigator Elson, can you please provide a summary of the complaint against Ms. Evers?
Yes, Madam Chair. On January 29, 2024, board staff received a complaint that respondent's license expired October 19, 2023. And that 5 days after her license lapsed, she was featured in an article in the newspaper in the fact that Ms. Evers continues to practice without a valid license. I did receive a written statement from Ms. Evers in the form of an email, which she admits that her license did expire in October, but all her paperwork was submitted before the expiration date. So it appears she was still working after the expiration, but had submitted all her paperwork.
Investigator, are there any items missing from her renewal application?
No, she actually renewed her license on 2/12/24.
Okay.
So her license is valid at this time.
Okay. Ms. Evers, do you have any information you'd like to present at this time to the board?
So what it was is the place that I was working, that I was leasing a spot from, she's the one that did the article. I wasn't aware that I wasn't allowed to do the article. I actually submitted my paperwork for my licensure back in October before my birthday when it was due. What I was missing was my federal clearance card for my fingerprints. So I was under the assumption, and I was told by a fellow therapist, that I could work as long as I had my CEUs, my payments, and everything turned in on a timely manner, that even though my fingerprints were not done yet because of the federal clearance card, that she said I could still work. So that was my mistake for believing her. I thought she knew what she was talking about. In regards to the article, I'm terribly sorry. I apologize. I didn't know my landlord was going to put that in there, and I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to be considered a licensed therapist. So I'm sorry. I apologize.
Thank you for that information, Ms. Evers. It's unfortunate that the misinformation
yes.
That has been spread about the ability to work on an expired license is out there like that.
Yes. So I apologize.
Sure. Please defer to the website and the renewal yes. application in the future.
Yes.
Board members, do you have any questions for the investigator at this time?
This is Board Member Tapscott. Was Ms. Evers working? I'm not concerned about the article. Was she working on an expired license?
She's been working. She worked until her license was renewed on an expired license based on the information that another therapist told her she could.
And I'm hearing two different things. Was the application missing a level one fingerprint clearance card?
It was.
Okay. So it was an incomplete application.
it was an incomplete. That was the last thing she needed, was the level one fingerprint clearance card.
Which I have now.
Yes, I appreciate that. And respectfully, a level one fingerprint clearance card might be the most important part of the application from a public safety point of view.
Correct.
Okay.
Vice Chair DeRusse, do you have anything that you would like to add?
No, that kind of addressed it. I was kind of curious if who's continuing to do massages throughout the 4 months. It looks like there was about 4 months of without a license and still continuing to do massages. Is that correct?
Actually, I wasn't giving very many. I was giving some, but my business had declined, and I wasn't. It was probably not even like maybe five. But, yes, I was. I did, and I apologize. Like I said, I got the misinformation, and I assumed that I could work until, you know, since my fingerprints were pending.
Okay. That was the only question I had.
Thank you. For consistency, based on the information presented at this meeting and contained in the investigative report, I move that we offer a consent agreement for a $400 civil penalty if not signed and paid within 60 days of issue notice of charges.
So am I allowed to work now?
One moment.
To get the $400?
One moment. We are deciding that at this moment.
So this is Vice Chair DeRusse, and I'll second that motion.
And do we have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Augerton?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Vice Chair DeRusse?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Three ayes, two vacants.
The motion passes. So what this means for you, Ms. Evers, is that because your license is active at this moment, you can still practice. However, you will need to pay a $400 civil penalty. And then if that's not paid within the 60 days, then you'll be probably visiting the board once again. So that concludes this investigative review. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served upon the party. Thank you for attending.
Thank you.
Our next investigative review is Malik Barnes, Massage Therapist 29207. And before I get into my regular spiel, I understand that Mr. Barnes has accepted and signed a consent agreement for voluntary surrender. However, before I get into that, I would like for Investigator Elson to go ahead with providing a summary of the complaint for the board members as well as the public.
Yes, Madam Chair. On February 11, 2024, the board received information that on 1/26/24, Mr. Barnes performed a massage on JS in Queen Creek. During the course of the massage, he digitally penetrated her vagina. Upon beginning the investigation, I spoke with Mr. Barnes, who indicated that he would rather sign a voluntary surrender, which he did.
Okay. So on that, I move that the board accept the consent agreement signed by Mr. Malik Barnes to surrender his license.
This is Vice Chair DeRusse, and I second that motion.
And can we do a roll call vote, please, Mr. Overton?
Yes, Madam Chair. Vice Chair DeRusse?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Three ayes, two vacant.
The motion passes. We will accept the voluntary surrender of massage license number 29207, Malik Barnes. And that concludes this investigative review. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served upon the parties. Our next investigative review, Lori Nelson, massage therapist 02752P, an expired license. This is a preliminary investigative review of the information available to the board at this time and is not a hearing. Is Lori Nelson present at this meeting?
Yes, I am.
Do you have legal counsel with you here today?
No, we do not.
Go ahead and mute yourself for the moment. Investigator Elson, can you please provide a summary of the complaint against Ms. Nelson?
Yes, Madam Chair. On July 24, 2023, board staff received a complaint that on July 17, 2023 at 0800 hours, respondent performed a procedure called gua sha against the request not to massage the face of the client. This procedure was not requested and not explained. No medical history was requested. Later during a review of the procedure, it was discovered at the time of the massage the respondent's life was expired June 6, 2023. Based on this information, board staff conducted an investigation. Respondent admitted to performing the massage on June 6, 2023 while her license was expired.
Okay. Ms. Nelson, do you have any information that you'd like to present at this time?
At this time, I did have all of my hours. I have been dealing with some medical issues regarding my husband. He's been in the hospital 4 times within the last year. I'm sorry I had missed doing my license. I have been able to get my fingerprint card, my license, 62 hours of CEUs. All I can do is pay the fine and move on. I have not done any massage since the board had contacted me.
Thank you. And your application is in at this point? Okay, thank you. Do the board members have any questions that they would like to ask the investigator or for Ms. Nelson? And it seems that we do not have any other additional questions. All right. So based on the information presented at this meeting and contained in the investigative report, and upon meeting all licensure requirements, I move that prior to renewing the license, offer a consent agreement for a $300 civil penalty. If not signed and paid within 60 days, deny licensure. Do I have a second?
Chair Ryder, this is why 300 and not 400?
You want me to answer?
Please go ahead.
Because she said she didn't work the last month, so months that they are working, I assess to keep it consistent, I do $100 per month. So if they work for a whole month, if they work one time during the month, it's $100 per month. So it was 4 months, it's 400. In this case, it was 300.
Gotcha. All right. That makes perfect sense. Thank you so much. This is Board Member Tapscott. I second that motion.
And can we roll call vote, please, Mr. Alberton?
Yes, Madam Chair. Vice Chair DeRoost?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
3 ayes, 2 vacant.
The motion passes. This concludes the investigative review, and the board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served upon the parties. Thank you for attending.
Thank you. When and where should I make this payment? Because I do need to get back to work.
Investigator Elson will reach out to you and give you the details on that.
Okay.
She'll be emailed a civil penalty.
Thank you.
Since you're on administrative hold.
Thanks. Since I'm on administrative hold, can I practice?
No, you do need to be renewed before you can practice any further.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, and that concludes our investigative reviews for the day. Agenda number 9, we have a report by our State Board Investigator, David Elson. Could you please give the board and the public your monthly status report, Investigator David Elson?
Yes, Madam Chair. Since the last board meeting, there have been 14 new cases initiated, 9 of which, after today's meeting, have been closed, either through the board meeting or administratively. Since the last board meeting, we've received 90 new sets of prints fingerprints to be processed. Every single print has been processed, and we're awaiting 90 from DPS. And during the month, we received 60 back from DPS, which were transferred over to licensing to be licensed.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any questions from the board members for Investigator David Elson? Okay. Let's see. Item number 11, item number 10 on the agenda. We have our report from the Executive Director, Executive Director Thomas Augerton. Could you please provide your report today, including a summary of the current events, and if possible, if you have the statistics that were compiled by board staff over the last several days at my request, would you be able to present them as well, or I can have the board staff follow you with those statistics?
Yes, Madam Chair, we can do that at that part of the presentation. Let me just start with, for the last two or three weeks, we've been mostly focused on House Bill 2169. It is currently retained on the House Committee of the Whole calendar, and it's awaiting that next step and then third reading before transmission to the Senate. And there have been a number of meetings between the volunteers and the board chair and the director and the committee, the Industry Issues Committee chair. Last week, and we are expecting an invitation to another one for this week. So for that reason, on the first issue I have for you, CENTIA, which is the database conversion, that is currently on hold until we know the future of House Bill 2169. That is primarily a courtesy for the cosmetology board that uses a different system called GL Solutions. And I had a conversation with the director about 4 weeks ago now, indicating that if we were transitioning, we would provide an organized outline for movement. And CENTIA would be one of the principal issues on there because most of the directors have vetted all the different products, and some have chosen to go with different products besides the DOA recommended CENTIA. So last week, we asked that to have that on hold and remain on hold until we know the progress of House Bill 2169. We also lost our DOA engagement manager, Karen Whiteford, who was an invaluable partner that we worked with these last several weeks and, or actually several years, but last several weeks on this issue. And we are waiting for the notification to the board of who the new engagement manager will be. That's one of the principal partners the board uses with DOA on all things technology. Stephanie Rodriguez had said something a couple of weeks ago that was actually correct, which I did not know at the time, that the Arizona Auditor General is going to be returning to the board. And that was confirmed in discussions on Friday. And we are expecting a formal letter sometime late this week or early next week indicating when that procedure will begin. And this is commensurate with the fact that the board currently is expiring next June 30th of 2025. And part of that sunset review process is what we underwent in 2022. So that process will repeat, but done differently, involving a joint committee of the state legislature and their staff. So when we get a copy of that letter, we'll provide it to the members of the board. Lastly, let's do the stats, and then I want to have one more thing on 2169 before we leave this, Madam Chair. Coney has a... He's going to do the screen presentation for me because if I do it, I'll probably disconnect all of this. Not that I don't have confidence in my IT skills, but experience indicates that it's better for Tony to do it. Or Tony, I can try. Okay, maybe I should try because I'm sorry, I put him on the spot. Mine just popped up and it turned out it was mine, not his. So let me try this. Okay, I have found it, so hold on 1 second.
So as we're waiting, I want to mention to the board members as well as the public that I had requested, and I hope it didn't take too much time because I already know that they're overwhelmed with a lot of work. But I wanted to get some data on how many calls and emails that the board staff is dealing with on a regular basis as far as licensing applications, just so people can get an understanding of what the board staff is doing that is dominating all of their time.
Thank you for filling that air time there. I have my tab up and I'm trying to load it. And Tony, I will need your help on this. I have it as a Word document that's open, and it's on a tab, but it's not showing up in the screen saving.
There's a choice window that should show when you do the up arrow. Then it should highlight, and you choose window is the tab.
Oh,
and then
okay.
It should be one of those photos under that window tab. Click it once, and then share.
The document is not showing up under Chrome tab. And
Robin,
under window, I have this screen.
Yeah, there'll be, entire screen will be one of them. There you go.
Well, I don't think I have the right tab, but let's try.
That's okay. Now just go to the, one you want to see and it'll take over the screen.
Okay. Is that working? Do you see the yellow?
I see your meeting. So go to the Word doc.
I apologize. This is not really working. Tony, I'm going to have to depend on you because it's not populating under Chrome tab because it's a Word document.
Name of the document because I don't know.
Oh, board statistics or board operational statistics. Among Tony's many tasks, IT support is clearly evidenced at times like this.
Okay, I have got it, so I will be presenting.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wilcox to save the day once again.
He does that every day.
Every day.
This is not a final copy, but this can work for right now. The chair had asked on Friday to do a quick snapshot just to give an estimate. So we chose January of this year. And how many calls received in the month of January? And again, we don't have metrics ability in our database, but we have the ability to go back and count activities. So in the month of January, we received about 1,200 calls, incoming calls, where you can average that out to about 300 per week. Now, the calls that come in don't necessarily mean that 1,200 people called us, but it would be some number less than that because many people call back, or many people call back repeatedly, not wanting to leave a message. But that's how many times the incoming line rang the month of January. Yes, somebody has a question, Madam Chair.
Tony Wilcox.
that number does not have any calls made by us, because any call we make, you know, if there's 600 calls come in, 600 calls are going to be made out. So that 1,200 really does not show how much work's going on. That's all.
Thank you.
Next are emails, and they're broken down really into three categories. I've left myself off that one initially. How many emails come into the board's info box? So in the month of January, that number there, 3438. And then it's broken down to by the other two staff, which would be Tony and Paul. So individually in the month of January, Tony handled 1,554 incoming emails that required a response. And typically on a case, it requires review. Tony?
Those numbers are not the 3438. 1,554 is not taken out of that count. The 1,554 are emails directly to me that has nothing to do with the 3438 count. The 1,770 emails are directly to Paul, to his email, that has nothing to do with the 3438 count. Thank you.
So add all these together.
Yes.
That's what we're looking at as far as how many emails have, okay.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Tony, for explaining that. I was interpreting that incorrectly. Okay, if you can page that a little bit, or is that all we have on that? We had some questions in the chair on schools. Okay, on average, well, there's a daily average just to kind of give you a number that's a little more measurable. So per day, about 65. Again, Mondays, the numbers go way up, and then the Tuesdays after a three-day holiday, the numbers go way up, just obviously because you only have a four-day work week. On mail, it's funny. I was originally thinking we were going to measure the number of pieces of mail we got from Arizona-based schools, but I initially forgot that we do schools across the country on a monthly basis as well. So it's one thing that we're taking care of issues here in the backyard, but we do get transcript documents sent all across the country and from Canada on a regular basis. So that averages, at least in January, you know, 1 month is not representative probably for the year, 246. And then we have a new process that we try to do to be of more service to the schools, which is when we get a physical envelope, which has more than one student in it, we provide a verification of the contents of the envelope, and then we send a verification list electronically back to the school. Or in those cases where the school comes into the lobby of the building, then they receive a physical inventory receipt when they come in. And that's designed to try to prove what documents have been received by the board on an individual applicant basis and what documents may still be omitted or missing from an individual applicant's submission to the board, but through the Arizona schools. This obviously does not apply to schools outside the country, but the schools that are applying here in the state. And so obviously the schools, Tony, probably anything you want to add to this, the schools out of state don't receive an inventory verification receipt. That's just to the Arizona schools because we typically get multiple applications within a single submission envelope. Am I missing anything there, Tony?
No, that is supposed to be for clarification. So the school will get the list, and in that single glance of the list, plus we write on the bottom of the list if something's missing, like no level one, it will have the student at the top of the list, all the pieces, and then the words missing level one, as well as the checkbox for level one will say no. And then that is sent, just that one, to the school. So the school, if they're looking by name of which person, they know right away that one is distinct from the rest of them. Because if they do five in an envelope, they get five checklists with, you know, and if they have everything, then it says and that it's all done and it's all, we have it in hand. And then everything is technically up to, I'm not saying anything bad about our investigator, but it does go to the investigator. He does his submissions and everything, and then we're waiting for it to come back, which is really where the time lapse problem is for getting licensed. individuals. We don't really have a delay between when it comes to us. The checklist is made. It goes to him. There's no delay. When it comes back from DPS, he'll give them back to me to license, which is done within 24 hours. We're very fast on those things. That's all I have. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you.
And Madam Chair and board members, just to let everybody know that every document that comes in is scanned for initial retention and also for proof that the document was provided. But without beating this dead horse continuously, all processes that you see here are done by hand. So if Michael Tapscott applied for a license today and he did an online application and he had everything required sent through his school and then sent to us, and all of his documents were scanned, and his 258 would be begun, and he already had his level one card, so he's moving forward in the process. But everything regarding Michael Tapscott is now taken down offline and then hand-typed, hand-key punched in on the database, which, again, not to beat the dead horses, but the database was designed in 2010 and is a limited storage program, which has no ability to produce any type of reports or data analysis and that type of thing. I mean, if the moon landing was done on an early computer that's less than the average calculator in our pockets, this computer was a brethren to that era. So it's able to take Tony's typing and collect it in an alphabetical context, but that's about it. It's not capable of much more than that. And Tony, that's basically it, isn't it? In our report back. Yeah, that's more on process.
Okay.
I think that's it for statistics, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much.
It was actually more than what I thought it would reveal. You know, it's like pressing your nose on the window of the airplane. You don't realize how many miles you're traveling until you get there 15 minutes early. But it's a lot of piecemeal sewing on a daily basis to make a license.
I thought it would be nice to share that information, not just with the board members, but the public, so that they can get a really good understanding of, you know, what's happening in you know, the board staff offices, you know, not just sitting around waiting for stuff to come in. They're pretty busy. So are there any questions from the board members regarding this report or anything else that the executive director has proposed? Michael Tapscott.
No questions. I just want to thank you for the report, and I appreciate all the emphasis on the technology being updated. I think that these aren't just straight numbers, right? It's not just about how many applications come in. It's about the way they have to be processed because you don't have the proper technology. And, you know, when you have to stamp them on a stone tablet, that slows things down a bit. So I want to emphasize your emphasis that the numbers are actually more elevated when you think about how they have to be processed. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chair,
just one last speechifying here for a couple of minutes. So on House Bill 2169, the bill is awaiting, obviously, Committee of the Whole action, and we're having very good access and very good response from everybody who's working the issue at the state legislature and the governor's office and the auditor general and so forth. For me, and I just want to throw this out there. I've been thinking about this for some time now. Does the industry want licensing in Arizona? And for reasons which probably each of you could discuss separately for different reasons. So if you want licensing, you've had it since 2003. And since 2003, you've had an independent board. 2169 is not new. It was tried 3 years ago, identically, and it was partially approved to merge the cosmetology board with the barber board, and the massage board was removed at that time. In both cases, the industry was not consulted before the bill was submitted to talk about consolidation and other changes and so forth. I think we've already established that at some future point, there would be value in having a legislative review, statutory review, maybe beginning with Arizona Legislative Council, of the statutes that were originally incorporated in 2003, but more importantly, those statutes that have been removed since 2003 that have changed the architecture of licensing. The reason I think you want to ask yourself the question, should this industry be licensed, is because in other states, recently in the last 2 years, there have been 3 states where legislation was introduced to deregulate. In other words, not having any licensing of the industry. And in Arizona, of course, last year, we saw the end of licensing for the funeral industry and that turning into a certification process. So I think the first question all of you should ask yourselves as board members and volunteer advisors to the board and LMTs listening is, do you want regulation? If you want regulation, do you want it independent? And then what do you all think is the industry standard that would constitute state licensing? Is it what you have currently, which is less than what you had in 2003? And if it's not up to industry standards around the country, well, why is that? Now, clearly, some things, as you'll see when the chair wraps up this meeting and discusses tomorrow's meeting and agenda, there are operationally things that can be done by the board to make a quality of life improvement for the LMTs. For example, during COVID, the requirement for continuing education was removed for 2 calendar years. Everybody who's an LMT today who survived COVID business-wise and health-wise did not have to take continuing education during that 2-year period. That was intended to be a money saver for the LMTs who have to pay for the majority of the education that they received. Secondarily, the board eliminated the renewal fee for the 2 years during COVID. When COVID started and the staff vacated on March the 17th of 2021, nobody knew what we were heading into. Initially, under executive order, just to remind everybody, anyone doing massage in the state of Arizona was told to shut immediately. And there was a brief period of a few months where massage was not permitted by the governor and the Arizona Department of Health Services until the state officials could work with the federal officials to find out what was acceptable regardless of the impact on business. So it was an unusual time, but I think it showed that the board you had then attempted to try to change at its own discretion things that would make it easier for licensees to survive the experience of the pandemic. The issue of, I don't want to preempt the chair here, but the issue that's on tomorrow's agenda is going to be a proposal for something else the board can do discretionarily, which you'll be asked to show up tomorrow and discuss, which would have a material benefit to anyone coming into the industry who's educated here in the state of Arizona. Now, what the board cannot do and the board staff cannot do, as you know, because it's part of the statutory process, is we cannot access money from fees that have been paid by the 31,000 LMTs that are in the state of Arizona, of which currently 13,000 are active. When you pay a licensing fee, 10% goes to the state general fund to pay for whatever the legislature is needing to fund at that time. This cycle, we are actually donating, if that's the proper term, 50% of the board's revolving fund. Don't shake your head, Madam Chair. 50% of the existing balance is being transferred to the debt consolidation review process at the state legislature. There had been attempts in the last year or discussions about raising the fees. My latest understanding from folks at the Capitol is that there is no interest, particularly on the part of the executive branch, in raising licensing fees, or at least not raising licensing fees for this industry currently. So that's not on the table for discussion. But I think it's important to remember the last board, which is no longer here, and the new board who came in during this period, is that the board staff has requested additional funding and additional FTEs for the 5 years that I have been here, and certainly my predecessor, Mr. Edmondson, who's now at the dental board, did as well. I can only speak to the time that I've been here, but the only thing that we received increased funding for in the period that I've been here for was for Mandarin translators to help you with your administrative hearings with the individuals who are not English fluent. The request for licensing officials, investigative officials, and new spending coming from the revolving fund was not approved by the executive. So with 2169, we had the sunset audit in 2022, which I think is fair to say was not a supportive document of the board's operational capability or standards of excellence. In addition, there was a six-month follow-up, which I think amplified on the original audit findings. And now we will be going into a third exercise, which will provide updated information to the board and the public. But the last time this proposal came up, it was not connected to the audit findings. It was introduced independent of what the board's performance was documented by the audit. So the question is, who's asking for the legislation? And if it's not coming from the industry, the question that should be asked perhaps is, who would benefit from board consolidation? So if you represent the industry as an individual, as a board member, as a citizen activist or a citizen volunteer on the issues committee, clearly there is much to be discussed about the board's website and the board's staff's performance and this, that, and the other. But to me, 2169 asks a more important question, because staff can change and resources can be augmented or changed. The real issue is, do you want regulation? Do you want regulation on par with other states around the country? If so, what would it look like? What's the algorithm for staffing an independent board? If you don't have an independent board, then what do you want? Well, theoretically, the industry would want parity of representation among what that new board structure would be, the board member structure. Right now, under this board, under the last governor, the plurality of citizen representatives for victims increased by one seat. The industry gave up one seat, and the public victims protectors picked up one seat. So the relationship is now three on this board. If we had seats filled, one seat has been vacant for over 2 years. The other seat has been vacant for 6 months. Mr. Kovitz arriving is miraculous, because now we have scheduled two hearings on your March agenda that we could not have on the agenda because we didn't have a quorum, where there was not a conflict of interest of knowledge between the investigee, the respondent, and the board. So Mr. Kovitz showing up is actually permitting us to do business on the March agenda, and we're certainly grateful for the governor's office providing his appointment and certainly for him volunteering to step into this situation, this volunteer opportunity. So if you want licensing, if you want an independent board, or if you get a consolidated board, what do you want? Then the real question becomes, what are you going to do if there are changes proposed to your current industry standards? The Cosmetology Board has introduced a proposal to change its initial licensing from the current requirement of 1,500 hours down to 950 hours. And that proposal has been tried historically with the Barber Board. Most of you are familiar with the changes that have taken place in Utah, where not only have the hours been reduced on initial licensing, but also the ability to have unlicensed massage assistants and so forth. Then we could go around the country and talk about statutory changes in the last few years. There's a lot of different industry and legislative and political trends. But yeah, I'm not going to quote the old Ben Franklin adage about it. You have a republic if you want to keep it, or if you can keep it. You have a board if you can keep it. Regardless of where your board is, there is an annual legislative session, and a lot of people have ideas on how things can work better. Clearly, the board's performance would not get this car out of the showroom floor if we're measuring up to new models on the parking lot. But the industry and the people that volunteer to overlook the industry on this state-appointed board need to look about, if you want licensing, what should it look like? How does it compare around the country with other states? And what do you want as the integrity architecture of your state licensing in order to protect the public, which is probably the most important mandate of each of you, and then secondarily, do no harm to the industry, to support the industry? It used to be on our logo. I took it down since we were not doing a very good job, but it was always protect the public and serve the industry. So what would that look like? And when 2169 is resolved this year and some decision is made to go forward, the industry needs to come together and meet for an annual summit and talk about what massage licensing should look like in 2024. It's highly integrated with Arizona healthcare, from the sublime to the exotic. Massage is not your father's massage or your mother's massage. It is a health-related product, and I better stop at this point because this is turning into a stump speech for the Legislative Committee. But I just wanted to leave some thoughts with you that you have something. It certainly could be made better. What does the industry think it should look like? What does the industry deserve? What standards do you deserve in terms of processing an initial license and processing a license renewal? This board just doubled the number of hours that LMTs can take by attending this meeting from 3 to 6 per licensing period. The board members are innovative and always reminding staff, what can we do better? What can we do more of? So maybe 2169 is just a good check on the patient to see how he or she is coming along. If we can use this opportunity to recommit ourselves to licensure, if that still is a priority, demand industry standard ability, since the industry provides a lot of jobs and a lot of money through tourism and healthcare to the state coffers, of which 10% come out with the licensing fees, and then income tax comes out as well. So that's all I had, Madam Chair. I just wanted to kind of set the tone that we don't know what 2169 is going to do, but you have something in this state, and it's different than other states, and if you want to retain or provide input on what you have or what you want going forward, the people who have stepped forward to be involved need to organize and speak with one another, and off-season maybe have standards for what you'd like to see the industry do in consultation with your legislative policymakers off-season, so there can be thoughtful statutory review, industry review, and resources review. That would be my respectful suggestion. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Director, thank you so much. I do have a question, and I don't know if you'll have the answer, and it's purely out of curiosity regarding HB 2169. As we all know, this bill came about without any consultation from the Massage Therapy Board, and I'm curious if you know that the last time that this came up, if the situation was the same. Was there any consultation or input from the industry stakeholders previously when the same thing came up for consolidation of the Massage Therapy Board?
No, Madam Chair. But, of course, the onus is always on the public to look at legislation that's introduced every session, and the onus is on government agencies as well to do their own legislative monitoring. So nobody promised that permission would be requested before people who represent the public have the right to introduce legislation. So the onus is always on us. But unfortunately, we would have been able to provide some input off-season to legislative staff had the opportunities in there. But we're attempting to provide that now, as you know.
Yes, exactly. Okay, board members, do you have anything that you'd like to ask Executive Director Tom Albertson at this time? Nope. Okay.
Thank you, Tom, for that, though. It's a lot of good information, and I think, you know, we have the unique opportunity to, even with the advisory committee, with legislation, and to be thoughtful in our response and moving forward. And so I think you brought up a lot of really good points that are worth considering. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice Chair. item number 11 on our agenda, discussion, review, and proposals for future agenda items. So first of all, I'd like to mention that at our next meeting, if all goes well, we do have another presentation scheduled by an organization called The Network. The Network is an anti-human trafficking organization, and they are scheduled to present at our next meeting. And they have they've provided training, again, just as Imran Ali and his associates have provided training for law enforcement as well as local municipalities to help combat the human trafficking, particularly guised as massage therapy. At this time, do board members have anything that they would like to see on future agenda? And we do not. All right. So, Director Augerton had mentioned that we do have a special meeting that's being conducted tomorrow. And an opportunity kind of came up. We're being creative, as we always do. And I think that's one of the many wonderful things about our board is our creativity and ability to come together. So rather than adjourning this meeting, I'm actually going to recess this meeting until tomorrow morning. And that was because we wanted the opportunity to make sure that this made the agenda. The agenda has been posted for tomorrow morning. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we also work with Casey Hutchinson, who reminds us of the open meeting law. So actually, you will adjourn this meeting in a few minutes, and we had reposted already last Friday a second board meeting for tomorrow morning at 9 with the new agenda. So there were two notice requirements and two agendas. That's an update based on with the AG's work from last week.
Okay, so it did make it up on time for the 24-hour rule then?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, so just so that the public is aware and the board members are aware, that we do have the special meeting scheduled for tomorrow at 9 a.m. And this is for an updated policy that we're trying to discuss and hopefully come to a cohesive agreement. And it will benefit the schools. It'll benefit new applicants coming in as far as time-wise for the processing. On that note, our regular meeting is going to be scheduled for March 25th, 2024 at 9 a.m. That will also be held virtually. And then we will see each other again tomorrow morning, February 27th, 2024 at 9 a.m. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you for attending.